Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We had two vehicles in our family. We were a family of six. I was the oldest of four. And my dad had, I think they called it a Chevy 3 plus 3. It was what we know now as a pickup truck with a crew cab and an 8-foot bed. And it was, a 3/4 ton. Big maroon thing. It was long. I mean, this thing was forever long. And so got to drive that once in a while. Had two gas tanks on it. And you push the little button, you know, and it flips to the other side. Got like 8 miles of the gallon. And then we had a car that was given to us, the blessing curse. It was a American Motors Matador. Oh, does some of you know what that? Some of you know what that was. It was 4-door. It was, I don't know, faded light blue. No, I didn't mind the Ambassador. The Ambassador was all right, but the Matador, that was a dud thing. It had a 304 in it, I believe, this Matador, and it was the car that no mechanic could ever figure out what was wrong with it, and it would, without warning, not start, not run, and in fact, my dad ended up selling that car to somebody for $200. Get this. And for $200. Sold it for $200 to a guy, and the guy was having problems with it. My dad was honest with him. Listen, it has problems. Blah, 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 blah. The guy came back and complained. My dad gave him back the $200 and said, keep the car. That's what happened. Well, you know, 16, driver's license. We had one vehicle. You know, I needed a car. Not just wanted, I mean, I needed one. You know, I could help get groceries. You know, when you're 16 and got your license, you'll do anything. All of a sudden, you love your siblings. You'll run them anywhere. You'll do any, you know, and so I began the search. I began to look in the newspaper, and I would go to homes, and I would call guys. Of course, you know, my list of vehicles was not long. I was not looking for just anything. I'm thanking God that back then they didn't have minivans. I did not want to be a 16-year-old guy driving around some, I wouldn't want to be 16, you know, minivan. Now, maybe you do. That's cool. That's cool. It is a practical vehicle. We have had them. We've owned them when we've had small children. They cannot be beat. They are the best. I just didn't want one as a 16-year-old guy in high school. You know, you understand this, don't you, Russ? I mean, you know, you fit a lot of people in it, but, yeah. And so if you're driving one and you're that age, listen, it's practical, it's good. You can fit a lot of people in it, and you get decent gas mileage. I'd say more power to you. I didn't have that maturity at 16. So I began looking at, like, you know, Ford Mustangs. I was looking at, you know, Chevelles. Yeah, some of you guys going, yeah, yeah. You can, you know, I just feel the level of testosterone rising in the room as I'm speaking. I did look at a couple of American Motors cars. It was an AMX. They had the short bodies and the long bodies. I looked at some of those. Oh, I thought I found it. It was a short body. It was like a cherry high gloss. Mike, it was a cherry high gloss red, okay? I think it had a 401 in it. Does that sound right to you? 401 or 360. I think it was a 401. It was cherry. I brought my dad to see. It was parked in the front yard. I brought him back to see this because, you know, I had to have my dad's approval to, you know, buy this thing. Pop the hood. Everything under there, Mike, was shiny. I mean, aluminum and chrome, and it was, I still see it. I still see it. And we talked to the guy, and he was not asking a lot for this car. I mean, it was under $1,000. And we walked away, and I'm like, oh, God, hallelujah. And my dad says, you're not getting that car. I said, what do you mean I'm not getting that car? Look at that car. It's a great condition. Listen to it run. You know. I'm not a mechanic, you know. He says, you're not getting that car. I said, Dad, okay, I'm not getting that car. He says, I said, can I ask you why I'm not getting the car? He was afraid that everything under that hood was hot. All the parts were stolen. He was real concerned I'd be driving around a car that stolen parts everywhere. That's what he was concerned about. I don't know how people can prove that or not or whatever. I don't know. Personally, I just think he didn't have the money for it, and he wanted it. That's just my personal opinion, okay? Just my personal opinion. That's all it was. And the reason I think that is because of this. He had at the time, he picked up at the time, because we started out with like the two vehicles I told you about, right? And then it, you know, changed. We had one and he picked up another. And he had a 1964 Chevy Supersport, hard top, two-door, midnight blue. Okay, women, just stay awake for this. Pretend I'm talking about shopping. And maybe you're not into this. 327, four on the floor. And he put a nice racing steering wheel on it, put nice mags on it, nice rims. You know, he... And then we started to sand it a little bit, you know, and had some rust-proofing spots, you know, primer on it. And then somebody hit him in the rear end, and he had to go find another trunk. And so on this midnight blue, he had a yellow trunk from the junkyard. And he came to the point where, you know what, he did not have money to finish fixing this up. But at that time, guess who did? He would not sell that thing to me, John. A guy showed up to buy this. I'm in the house. My mom was even on my side with this. I said, I'm in tears. Dad, I'll buy this. I'll give you twice what that guy. No, that's too much car for you. And you can't have, no. And I know what it was. It's that I had money to fix it up. And he would have to beg me now for the keys. That was not going to happen. My dad was a man of pride. So he sold it. Finally came across the car that we agreed on. It's a 1973 Plymouth Roadrunner. Only had a 340 in it. It was an automatic, but it would do. Had the little Roadrunner on the hood because it had the scoop. It did. It had the little on this, you know, the fake scoop thing or whatever you call that. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. So here I've got this car, and then my dad, he introduced me to something. Do you know what this is? Do you know what this is?
Me?
No. Yeah, you don't know what this is.
No.
See, how old are you?
17.
17. See, you and I were similar. For those of you who can't see this, this is a dipstick that goes into the oil. He was not pulling it out to say, son, you are like this. But he knows that I probably thought and was thinking that you put gasoline, oil, windshield wash, antifreeze all in the same place and it's supposed to just go where it's supposed to. I mean, that was my level of education with cars. I just played sports and went to school, and I didn't take any auto classes. So my dad introduced me to this dipstick. It goes into this tiny little tube that you're getting an education now. I'm going to charge you for this. See those little holes there? At the bottom it says add. At the top it says full. When you dip this down that, pay attention. You put it down that tube, and it, all the way till it, you know, doesn't go anymore. And you pull that out. And you look at that, and it helps if you look in the light. So daytime is best. You look, and you want to make sure that it's in the safe zone. It's in the good zone. It's between add and full. Up towards full is best. Okay? What are you laughing at? You show them later? Okay. So my dad introduced me to this. And then I heard all the time. I was exasperated. I heard this. I'd come in the house, I'd go out of the house. You check the oil? I mean, 2 days later, check the oil? He's on the phone with my mother, and my mother would say, just a moment, Randy, Dad wants to know if you checked the oil. It was constant. It drove me crazy. I started coming in the front door. Open the door, wasn't even in. First foot did not touch the foyer, the entrance. And I was saying, I checked the oil. My mother would say, your dad's not home. I checked the oil. Did you check the oil? Did you check? So now it's a little bit of a joke. So when he comes to drive and see me and they call or whatever, say, hey, did you check the oil? You know, just the. I didn't know at the time that God would use this statement that has haunted me in the night. My dad's voice, check the oil. Did you check the oil? Check the oil. I didn't know that years down the road that God would use this phrase in my Christian walk with him. That, you know, he was quoting without knowing, because he was not a Christian at the time. He was going through this finding Christ and yes and no and working through it personally with the Lord. And that, you know, I could really call my dad, whose name is Robert, I could call him Apostle Bob, because the Lord showed me a scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's not so much the first part of the verse that I'm going to read you or quote to you, though it's relevant. It's the second part that God gave and spoke to me from an experience that I had in my past. It's Ephesians chapter 5. It's verse 18. And it says this, it says, do not be drunk with wine, for it leads to, well, and some Bibles will say debauchery, and we can just, you know, we can paraphrase it this way. Do not get drunk, because it leads to, because you're under an influence of, and that's in the original language there, under the influence, of something that will cause you to sin and lead a defamed life. But rather, or instead, Paul says, be continually filled. It says filled probably in your Bible, but the context and the language actually means continually filled with God's Spirit. Now, we know that throughout the Scripture, Old Testament and New, that the Holy Spirit has symbols and indications. And we are a people, you know, we like symbols. We like indications. We have them, you know, throughout town. We have them in our homes. And one of the symbols for the presence of the Holy Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit is oil. Say this to the person next to you. Holy Spirit, oil. There you go. Continually be filled with the oil of God. Jesus did stuff like this all the time when he told parables. He told things that people related to, things people understood. He didn't bring out a dipstick because they didn't have cars back then. And here is this phrase I grew up with the last couple years I lived at home that drove me crazy. Check the oil, check the oil. Now I've got my Heavenly Father telling me, hey, Randy, check the oil, check the oil, check the oil, check the oil. I respond much better to him than I did my dad at the time. Check the oil, check the oil, check the oil. Are you filled? Because I discovered something when I had this 73 Roadrunner, that the oil would not always stay at the top once it was changed or full. The level would drop. Have you ever noticed in your Christian walk at times where you feel really close to the Lord, you feel like you're gaining ground in your faith, and then some stuff happens and things go on, and it's like, where did that awareness of His presence go? Where did that sense of His power go? Where did that sense of maybe His favor go, as if it was something that's not fleeting, but it like pushes forward and then it rescends and it... Have you ever had some of that go on? Do you know one of the great revivalists in the church in history said it this way? I need to continually go back and be filled with the Holy Spirit because I leak. As if our life, our heart, our own soul, our own spirit is this container. As God can fill it. And you see things in scriptures talk about He'll fill you with overflowing or bless you to overflowing. As if we are this container and we can hold and contain. But as life goes on and experience goes on, things hit our life. Things bump our life. There's demands on our life. And all of this is this draining, this spilling. This willingly giving sometimes of God's Spirit within us. Now we know His Spirit is eternal. We know that God knows no bounds. But I also know this, that God's eternal resource and infinite resource within my life, I am not infinite. And I need to continue to walk with Him. And I need to continue to keep my eyes fixed on Him as the author and finisher of my faith. And I need to develop that relationship with Him that He can continue to rub on me and pour into me the oil of His presence. Because though He lives in me, I can only contain. And I only focus so long. And I got to discipline myself. And all these things come and go in and out of our life that affect us. It's like this. Knowing that we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then somebody you bump into has a need. And you respond to that need. And maybe it's an impossibility. And maybe it takes a measure of your faith. And you're drawing from God's Spirit. And when you're done, it's not like God's Spirit has diminished, but that filling up in your life. It's like traveling, 3,000 miles in your car. It's time to change the oil. Some of you, 5,000's good. Mechanics, don't get mad. Somewhere between 3 and 5, we're supposed to change the oil. Right? Okay. I don't know how to change the oil. I just take it in somewhere. But I know that that's what they're supposed to do. And when we willingly give, it's like there's that spilling over. It's that ladle that scoops it out. And then there's things that happen in our life. We run into a difficult circumstance or something that hinders us. Something that somebody mistreats us. And now it's this, am I going to respond in the flesh or I'm going to respond with God's Spirit? And what's coming out of me? And am I going to allow God's Spirit and His virtue, the fruits of the Spirit, come out of my life. And now this level of God's Spirit, as if we can have this mental picture to grasp just a little bit of understanding, as if it decreases. And then this unexpected attack, it's not from a person, it's like the devil comes against your life and the stuff starts happening, and it's like it's nobody else's fault. It's just, we call it spiritual battles. And it comes and it hits you. It's like it puts a hole in the bottom of your bucket and stuff just starts to run out. And Paul's writing the Christians in Ephesus and he says, hey, don't be under the influence of wine. Now, he wasn't just speaking there against drunkenness alone. He's just saying, rather than being under the influence of wine, for example, or whether being under the influence of this, for example, or whether being under the influence of that, he's saying, rather than being under the influence of those things, be under the influence and the control of God's Spirit. And to do that, you must continually be filled. That's why our life of Bible reading every day, our life of prayer every day, why Sundays, Wednesdays, and other times of teaching and worship and small groups and home groups, and we get together and we fellowship, all of those things so that we can continually be filled, taking in, making room for more of Him in our life is so important. Being filled with God's Spirit. You know, we are born again of the Spirit, then we are people of the Spirit. Understand that. When you are a Christian, you are a person of the Spirit. You are not just a person of the things you see physically. You are a person of the things that have been revealed by Scripture and by God. Things of the Spirit that transcend what we see, that we hope for and hold to and we believe. That we must continually be reminded. How many of you have heard a scripture, or you heard a prophecy, or you've heard something from, you sense from God's Spirit or God's voice to you, a promise, and that after time, you kind of fades away, your mind might remember it, but it's not at the forefront, and it brought such courage and such hope, and now the things and the thorns of life begin to choke and wrap around you and choke things out like that. We need to go back and what? Remind ourselves and proclaim those things and pray those things. Why? So we can continually be filled with the mind of God, God's Spirit, to face everyday life. Everyday life. Because we allow God's Spirit to use us, and we use His virtue, and we feel the clash of the Spirit and the flesh within us. And it uses energy and faith, and we take some hits, and we've got to continue to go back day after day, many times through the day, hour after, moments and days, moments and hours of living in His presence. How did Jesus maintain? Because there was such a demand on His life. I don't mean only the cross, but the days where He walked this earth, especially those three ministries, the demands on His life from people. The attention and focus He got from the enemy, from the devil himself, who visited Him during His 40 days of fasting and tempted Him. How did Jesus walk with these disciples, and then they were exhausted after a day of walking and traveling and being with people, and yet the next day there were crowds and towns waiting for Him, and yet He didn't get sleep. He went up on a hillside by Himself and fellowshipped with His Father. Why? So that He could continually be filled with His Father. You want to know, I want to know, how do I continually be filled with His Spirit? Simple. It's going to the source. It's being with Him. The anointing that Jesus received from His Father, that's the Holy Spirit descending upon Him at the water baptism in His life, and the dove that came. You understand that Jesus had to continue to build off of that and maintain that as a human. And if Jesus had to do that, who is perfect, What about weak me? How much more important for me to check the oil? See, my dad was concerned, you know. Yeah, there comes time to change tires and you can watch the wear, and that's important. Don't get me wrong, maintaining the whole thing's important. But listen, what good are the tires if you don't put oil in your engine? Because the car isn't going to go anywhere. When you don't put oil in, the pistons, my understanding, I'm not a mechanic, just layman's terms, the pistons run and they cause friction. And without oil, they seize up. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good, thanks. That's as far as I'm going. It seizes up. It will not run. Do you understand that we can be a Christian and we can be filled with the Spirit and things can come into our life and we can willingly give of God's Spirit and things, conflict comes and it kind of knocks a hole in our bucket and we start to leak and we drain, that if we don't get filled with the Spirit, and we try to operate the Christian life because of some mental commitment that we understand without the oil of His Spirit, without God's Spirit, do you understand that you will seize up? Your faith will seize up. It will not function. It will not operate. This walk of the Christian life is a walk of the Spirit, and you cannot live the Christian life and follow Christ without the Spirit. Who do you think wrote this word? God's Spirit, right? Revealed it to people. That same Spirit. When things don't work, keep in mind now, pistons have seized. When things don't work, after a quick moment of my exerted patience, I experience what you experience. It is called the gift of frustration. When things don't work right, what happens? We get frustrated. Some quicker than others. You know, some mechanics throw tools. It doesn't fix anything, but, you know, I guess it makes them feel better. It seizes up, it does not function, it does not work, and we grow frustrated. It's like, why am I not getting anywhere in my Christian life? I'm reading the Bible, I'm doing my list, I'm trying to behave, and we try to do this without God's Spirit. Paul says it this way to the church in Galatia, and this is because he wrote it to different people because it's a common thing. Who's bewitched you? That which was started in the Spirit, why are you now trying to do in your own flesh and own strength? He says, don't do that. This walk of Christianity started with God's Spirit drawing you and moving upon your heart and revealing to you who Christ is. Why now go from that experience in God's way, taking this Christian walk and doing it on your own? You see, we're walking miracles because it is impossible without Christ to be saved. It is impossible without God, without His Spirit to contend and convict us for us to live holy. You are people of the Spirit. Check the oil. Check the oil. I wish that I could always live at this full level. But you know what? There are things and demands that require this maintenance and this being focused and being conscious of this. You know, I remember when I first started to learn one of these lessons. You know, I was in Bible college and, you know, I would have my devotions and I would pray and I would read and I would go to class. But then opportunities would come up for me to be involved in ministry or have this opportunity as a student to go and preach somewhere and do something like that. And I found myself coming up to those moments that I was praying more, that I was studying more, that I was, you know, setting myself aside more. And I thought, well, gee, does that mean on the days when I don't have these opportunities that I don't love the Lord as much, I'm going through all this, you know, trying to figure this out? I came back to the point of relaxing. saying, yeah, you know what? I need to walk with the Lord. And if he calls me to times of fasting and praying more and studying more, even though there's not ministry opportunities, then that's fine. That's good. But I saw the demand ahead. And so you prepare all the more for it. Before I go on a trip, do you know what I do? I check the oil in my car. And not only in my car now, I check it in all the vehicles at my house. Because she does not know where this is. My other daughters who are in children's church leading worship right now, they don't know where this is. He knows where this is, but you cannot touch it yet. Now, Brittany, you might know where this is. Yeah, she don't know where this is. It's under there somewhere. See? You and I had better know where this is on our Christian walk. Because God is saying to me and to you in this room, check the oil. Because you've got a journey of faith ahead of you. Check the oil of his spirit, the anointing of his spirit, the empowerment of his spirit to walk in this world and walk straight. And that when you fall and when we trip and when I stumble, that we know how to get back up. That we know who to run to. That we know how to maintain this by his grace and mercy. He poured out his oil, the oil of his spirit at Pentecost. And we get to walk in this eternal, unending reserve. So that the nucleus, the motor, the engine of our faith does not seize up at some crucial moment on a journey, on a trip of faith. From day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, experience to experience, challenge to challenge, impossibility to impossibility. That is not where you want to be. You do not want to be on your way up a very difficult slope to the pinnacle of an opportunity where God is leading you in your walk with Christ, and on that slippery slope, fighting adversity, fighting the weather, and for your motor to seize up, because you never check the oil. You never check the relationship with your spirit. You never check with the Holy Spirit. You never checked. You haven't been maintaining what Paul wrote us about. Don't be under the influence of other things, but be under the influence of God's Spirit, continually being filled with his Spirit. Check the oil. I don't want you to just hear Bob's voice. I don't want you to just hear my voice. I want you to hear the voice of the Lord. I've got to hear the voice of the Lord. Check the oil. We need to check it as a church. Because one of the things the oil does to keep from seizing up is it stops this friction. And if you and I will learn to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will have a lot less friction with people in this room. That's not the main point. That's a side note that I just believe the Lord just dropped into my heart. You have a lot less trouble with people if you would allow yourself to check the oil and God's Spirit to be under his influence, that he will develop in me and in you the virtues and the character of God's Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. A lot less friction. Some of the things just simply will not bother you anymore. Because you're focused on the virtue and the fruits of God's Spirit and not on your own pride. Why do you have quarrels among you? Is it not the desires within yourself and your own pride? That's what the Scripture says. Oh, we've got to be filled with His Spirit. Continually being filled. Continually being filled. There are moments where I will walk into the house and one of the people in my family, and you know what? They have the same moments now. And it's this. They will come up and say, hey, you just walked in and they've had something on their mind. They don't know what you went through in the day. You don't know what they went through in the day. You show up and all of a sudden there's this additional... And sometimes wisdom gets the best of me. And I'll say, could you give me just a moment? Can we talk about that a little bit later? Because right now, I am not filled and I am not ready to respond appropriately to satisfy the blessing that you are seeking. You understand? I got to take a moment getting in that house and I got to get back on top. I got to get filled. I've got to take a moment and let the resource of God rise up and then come back and say, now, honey, what is it you wanted? What do you want, sweetie? Son, what is it? Because it will help me and it certainly helps them. Do you understand that you are easier to deal with when you are full of the Spirit? I mean, we love you all the time, but when you're full of the Spirit, we like you. Check the oil. Check the oil. Are we continually being filled with God's Spirit?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.